Case number 10,500, Jeannie Sisk, west of Route 1, north of Sierra Avenue, being lot A16 within Sierra Mobile City Mobile Home Park. A variance from the side yard and rear yard setback requirements, a variance from the separation requirement between units in the mobile home park, and appealing decision of the director regarding need for a variance.
Well, we have to swear your two witnesses down.
Yeah, right.
At the same time, if you know they're going to be called.
Mr. Gottlieb.
Frank DeMayo, 19792 Sierra Avenue, Dover, Pennsylvania.
Sir?
Howard Goodwin, 11954 Center Avenue, Sierra Village.
How do you spell your last name?
Goodwin.
Just like it sounds?
G-W-I-N, just like it sounds.
Okay.
Jeannie Sisk, 19796 Sierra Avenue.
And do you, three of you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Good evening.
Good evening.
All yours, Mr. Enerline.
Thank you. Members of the board, I'm Paul Enerline, Georgetown, Delaware. I'm representing Jeannie Sisk. I do want to note for the record, I am representing her pro bono publico. I'm not charging and I'm not receiving a fee for my appearance in this proceeding.
Okay.
Basically, this is a case to replace a shed. Ms. Sisk has been a resident of Sierra Village for probably 40 years.
Yes.
They had a shed, a utility shed behind the mobile home at their residence over the years. In fact, they had one that was installed, bolted to a concrete pad. And what I've passed out to you is our application with various exhibits. And you can see on page 5 of the exhibits, the concrete pad where the original mobile home was placed. And the bolts that you see sticking up from the concrete pad were actually the bolts that held down the original utility shed. The first utility shed was removed after a period of years, and another shed was placed in the area where you see kind of the lighter coloring of the concrete. And there was another shed placed maybe about when?
A second shed?
Sometime in the late 90s, my daughter put it in. Okay. I'm not really sure.
Okay. Yeah. And then that shed, not too long, I guess, well, more recently, was damaged by wind, and it blew over several times, and finally it blew over, and Ms. Sisk decided to replace it with the existing shed. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, because it was blown over in the way that it was done, and because she was replacing the shed in the same spot as the original shed, she felt that the rural zoning laws that allowed her to replace a pre-existing non-conforming structure that was grandfathered, in a sense, the rules that allowed that to be replaced because of damage from the elements allowed her to replace that. Because of a number of other things that are going on in the park, and I guess elsewhere in the county, it appeared to Ms. Sisk that the county officials were requiring her to get a variance for what she believed was a pre-existing non-conforming grandfathered shed. And she resisted, and also they required, as part of a scheme that had been, set up for Sierra Village, but also for other places, that she be required to get a survey to replace the pre-existing shed. Ms. Sisk resisted that. She didn't feel that was just, but she was told that was the only way to do it. And there were some other requirements. I think the other requirement is they had to get permission from the mobile home park landlord, which she tried to do and couldn't obtain. So All these kind of conditions that were placed on this prevented her, for one, from getting a permit, and two, getting a variance that she didn't think was necessary. This has resulted in one lawsuit in JP court and another lawsuit pending in Chancery court over a shed. So we're here tonight to try to resolve this thing and try to bring all the facts, maybe bring a little bit of kind of common sense back into this whole mess, and try to just get to the heart of the real issues in this case. That is, what was there before, how it got there, and what she's doing to replace it, and to show that it really doesn't adversely affect anyone. We have some procedural differences, but in the substance of it, it's just that just requires that she be allowed to basically, the determination that she needs a variance is really what we're appealing. She doesn't need a variance. She is allowed to replace the shed with a in basically the same footprint, and all she needs is a permit, which she will be happy to pay for. Ms. Sisk, has everything I've kind of summarized, is that all correct?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the I just want to show you as we go through this, page 3. Of the exhibits. Is that, that's that aerial photograph marks your house 19796 Sierra Avenue?
Yes.
Okay. And behind, you see in the photograph, you see the shed?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Is that the shed that was blown over?
Yes.
Okay. And so, of course, you've replaced the, that shed in the same spot, correct?
Yes.
Okay. The page 4, is that just the front of the house?
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Where else on your lot could you put your shed?
In the front yard.
Okay. Is that appropriate in this community?
No.
Okay. I mean, is there, first of all, other than the fact that it's always been in the back of the trailer, is there any other good location or suitable location on the lot for it?
No, there is not.
Okay. What's behind your house?
Not a thing.
Okay. Well,
There's a some grass plot, which is about 10 feet. Then it's an access road, and behind that is the RV lots.
Okay. Of course, directly behind your house is a road of some kind, right?
Well, yeah, but there's about 10 feet behind. There's some empty lot back there. Mm-hmm. I mean, empty grass, because they have to mow it all the time. Then there's an access road. So there really is nothing behind me.
Okay. Now, the and, of course, there's a fence between the road and the shed.
Yeah, my fence.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the shed is not really visible from the road.
Top of it is.
Okay. Yeah. On page 5 of the exhibits, we see the concrete pad where you've placed the existing, this is the shed that you've replaced. How long has that concrete pad been there?
It's marked in the back, and it's L. McQueen. You can see it etched in. He etched everything he ever did. And that was placed in 1969. It's etched in. You can see it on the concrete.
Okay.
Right in the back area there.
Okay. So who is that person you just mentioned?
He was my stepfather.
Okay. And so and that was and the initial shed was bolted down by the bolts we see sticking up.
Yeah, a guy came in and built it, and they built it on and it was bolted. Mm-hmm. That's the way they could hold it down.
Okay. All right. Now, so obviously, the first shed was much larger than the current shed.
No, all the sheds were an 8 by 10. This was just placed because at that point the fence wasn't in. So where you see the bolts, it was an 8 by 10. That's the only thing that fits back there. If you physically go back there, you're going to see, and one of the gentlemen will testify to that, there isn't any more room. The only thing you can fit back there is an 8 by 10 or something smaller, but an 8 by 10 is the only thing we can fit.
And on page 6, of course, you see the front of the existing shed?
Yes.
All right. And then on the top photograph is the front of the existing shed. And the bottom photograph on page 6 shows on the left-hand side, is that the rear of the existing shed?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And the shed, I guess it's on the right side, is that your neighbor's?
Yes.
And who is your neighbor?
Frank DiMeo.
All right. Okay. On exhibit 7, is this the violation notice that you received?
Yes.
Okay, and this had certain conditions on it. For example, they wanted you to get approval from Sierra Management.
Yes.
All right, and they also wanted you to do some other things. What did you do when you got this notice, which is dated 12809?
I've been emailing and notifying the county and notifying Sierra Village, and I have a lot of emails and a lot of information that I can present showing that I've asked for a building permit. I've emailed the county about a building permit, And I keep on getting the same thing. I need a variance and a survey. And I keep on saying, I know we've had meetings with the county. I have all that information here. On August the 29th, Ed Sparrow called for a meeting, and a number of us were there.
I want to interrupt you a minute. I'm going to get some specific things
okay.
I'm trying to get from you.
Okay.
For example, did you make a request to Sierra Village Mobile Home Park?
Yeah, it was, yes. In fact, in my file at their office, there's a request for, in May, that they have a date at May that I asked for a request for the permission for the shed. And then I had to send them a certified letter asking the same thing.
Is that on page 9 of the exhibits?
Yes.
Okay.
It was a certified letter.
Right.
Yeah.
And then did you receive this response at page 10 of the exhibits?
Yeah, he responded back and stated whatever he stated in there.
Okay. All right. And as you recall, I stated in here that one of the things they wanted you to do was get permission from the county first. Is that true?
Yeah, they were asking me to get permission from the county, which I've been trying to do, and then trying to get permission from them. So,
on page 8 is an email. Is that an email that you sent?
Yes.
And was that to the county?
Yes.
And was it about your attempts to get permission from the landlord?
Yes.
Okay. At the time of this violation notice that came out in January, did you go to the County Planning and Zoning Office to inquire about appealing the notice?
Not right away. I did not know I could appeal it.
Okay. Did you at some point go in time and ask them to appeal it?
Yes, I asked them to appeal it, and when I find out finally that I could appeal it,
okay.
And I found out from you that I could appeal it. So when I went to the office to ask them, the girl said, no, you got to go to court. And I said, well, no, there's supposed to be a paper here that I can appeal this, because I had gotten a notification from the county spelling out three other ways that I could go with the shed issue. Mm-hmm. Remove it or replace it someplace else or do A, B, C, and D. So when I went to the county, that's what I was told. I went back and told Paul, and Paul came over, and you can answer from there.
Okay.
To the county.
Now, at some point, the county made us some other requirements for you. What did they require, a survey?
Yes.
Okay. Why did you think that was not appropriate?
Well, I already had a survey of the other shed. It was not any different than the shed I was replacing. I didn't understand survey. Why do you have to get a survey when a survey was already done on the property? And for an aerial survey of my existing structure, it was already there.
Okay. The do you know how much a survey would have cost you?
No, I've had various from anywhere from $200 to $600.
Other people from your experience with talking to other people in
other
the park?
People in the park.
Okay. How much did you pay for the shed? Do you recall?
You have it there. I couldn't even remember the other
okay.
day when you asked me.
Yeah.
It was $1,100 and some dollars. Yeah.
Okay. I'd just like to make this as an exhibit as well.
Let me just say that I had to replace the shed. I had to get a lawnmower, and I had to put it in the shed. The shed was no more good. The gentleman can testify. Everything in it was ruined. So I had to chuck everything out. I really had a mess on my hands,
yeah,
so I had to replace it.
Let's talk about that. About when did that occur?
When I replaced it?
When you had to replace the shed.
Well, it fell over again around the first of the year. It blew over a number of times, and it blew over again. I had to get a lawnmower coming up to mowing the back of my lawn. I have it fenced in, so I have to mow it. And everything in the shed was ruined. So with the shed ruined, I knew I was going to get a violation from the management because it was all rusty. It was all dented in. I mean, I have pictures of it all dented in and everything, and I knew that I was going to get tagged for it. I was out riding with my father one day. We happened to stop by K&L. He used to advertise with me when I was... you know, what I was doing. And I talked to the guy, and all of a sudden they said they can match the shed with my my home. So I thought, well, gosh, that's a good deal. So my father went out, he gave me the money, and that's how that was done.
Okay,
my dad paid for the shed.
Okay, so, but explain why you need to have a shed.
Well, I have a lawnmower that I got to put in it. I have no other way to store things. I mean, I live there permanently. I have no storage in this home. I have to have a shed. My mother had that shed, an 8x10, and on the property, we have another concrete pad, and there was another 8x10. I moved in permanently in 91, and when she moved out, she took, that shed with her. So I had the old dilapidated, termite-eaten shed back there that I finally replaced with a metal shed, thinking that the termites wouldn't eat it. Instead, it blew over.
Okay. Now, a question in this process has arisen concerning the property cards and the... I'm going to show you the property card for you. Lot 16, is that your lot?
A16 is my lot.
Okay. And on the page 2 of the property card, and this, I guess this issue has come up because it was stated to you that you didn't, there was never a permit granted for a shed. Is that what was stated to you by county officials?
Yeah, when I put the metal shed in, I called, and they said I didn't need a permit. And I've heard from a number of people, and I should have probably brought the maintenance man that used to be in our development. And there was never, he never got a permit for a shed. But anyhow, they said I didn't need one. When I called the time again, they said, oh, yeah, Sierra. Oh, you need a building permit, you need a variance, and you need a survey. And I tried to explain to them what I was doing. And they were insistent. So that's when all this started, that I started to come down and have meetings and emails and everything else. I didn't need it, but I had to replace it. I had a lawnmower. I had everything sitting out
okay.
under a...
But I guess my point is this. Was it told to you that there was had never been a permit for an 8x10 shed on your lot?
No, there hasn't been.
Okay. Well, I mean, it was told to you that was never granted. Did they tell you the property card didn't show that?
No, they never told me anything.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the property card, you've since looked at the property card, correct?
Yeah, I was told again to go down and pull my property card. So when I went down to pull the property card, because I was getting from the county, you had a smaller shed in there. And I'm thinking, you know, I've lived here for all those years, and my mother did. We never had a smaller shed there. So I went down and pulled the property card, and lo and behold, here's on our property card. And a McQueen Skyline 1968, 12x60. Ours is 12x60. It is a Skyline. It is McQueen, white and green. Well, two things are wrong here. 1968 is not my mobile. White and green is not my mobile. I have pictures.
Okay, but what year is yours?
Mine's a 1964.
Okay, and what color is yours?
White and gray.
Okay.
Or was.
Okay. So you know that some of the information on the property card for 16 is inaccurate, correct?
It was inaccurate, so I asked the gal there, I said, you know, I need to find out what's going on here. That's the home next door.
Okay. All right. In fact, what is the color of the home next door? So the home next door is white and green, correct?
Yeah.
All right. And the property card for A18, if you look at it, and you did look at it, correct?
Yes.
It shows the same thing, a 1968 Skyline 12x60 white and green.
Right.
And that's an accurate description. Of
for next door
was,
it is.
Up there, okay. All right. Now, who owned those two mobile homes back in, say, in the early 70s?
We did.
Your family owned both of those, correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And the property card for Lot 18 also says utility shed, 6x6 utility shed, correct?
Yeah, and I can show it here. The utility shed is here. That's it.
Okay.
That's a card. That's the next door.
Okay. So... This one showing the utility shed is
next doors.
Is next doors. Okay, and which one shows the two houses?
This is our home, and this is back in the 60s because we were just building the addition. This is back in the 60s, and that's our home, and that's the other.
So we have, can I mark on these?
Absolutely.
Do you want these back? I don't know if they'll be made part of the record.
Yeah, because they're my only pictures I got
okay.
of that. This you
can
have, but
these
you can't. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman?
If you have them look at them, they've got to be made part of the record, and they're going to be there as long as there's this case pending or any appeals.
Okay.
I didn't make record. I didn't make them.
Okay.
My mother would kill me.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, the...
Do they want to see them?
We have to make them part of the record. So you got to make a choice. You either give them up or we don't use them.
Got it. go ahead.
Okay. I mean, they're not going anywhere. They're going to stay in there.
They're going to stay in there. They just don't, until they're done with the file.
You'll get them back.
Okay.
Now, these pictures show that there was a shed in the 60s.
No, these show the picture of the shed is the neighboring shed that was a 6x6. We think our theory is that somehow the information for A16's shed and mobile home got put on A18's card, got put on AA16, because they're basically the same thing when they're different. So that's our only explanation, is that somehow the property card for A16 is mistaken. It doesn't have the correct color of the mobile home, the year of the mobile home, and it doesn't show the correct shed. It shows the same information as A18.
So the property in question prior to 1970 did not have a shed?
It did have a shed prior to 1970, correct? It had...
We had... my stepfather, as you're seeing the addition, that he's there with my mother standing there, and in between the bedroom being established in the front, there was a little shed that he had that had a peak on it that he put his tools in there again. And he kept it in between. He's very odd, but anyhow, he wouldn't make sure that nobody stole his tools. But we didn't have anything in the back because there was no concrete or anything.
Well, when was the... Wait a minute. When was
Mr. Testify? Chairman, I have another question for the 92 shed that was placed. Is there a permit for that?
Not that we're aware of, no.
Okay.
The pad, when was that installed?
1969.
Okay, and was it installed for a shed or for some other reason?
For that shed.
Okay. Well, for an original 8x10 shed.
Right.
In 1969.
Right.
Okay, so to your knowledge, that was when the shed was first installed.
That is exactly when it was. Okay. It was my home and my mother's.
Okay.
Right,
okay. The question that was asked was a permit obtained for the second shed?
No.
Okay.
Because I called down and asked if I need a permit, and they said no. Nobody at that time was getting permits for the sheds.
You've been here before the board many times before, right?
Yeah.
And you probably heard me tell people that no matter what you do to a property, you have to have a permit. Or did you miss that?
Well, I go by what the code says, but that was before I started to do this shed that I'm talking about now. I did call for a permit. And I was coming down to get a permit, but then I was told I need a variance before when the other shed went in. I was not ever before the board.
Okay.
All
right.
I was just a plain old little resident in there.
Okay. Now, the shed is pretty common to the other sheds in the neighborhood.
No. We have all kinds of little sheds and everything. I have a whole slew of pictures. I'll show you little dinky,
okay.
Whatever. I mean,
it's common to have sheds, right?
Common to have sheds. Everybody has something because they have to have something to put something in.
Right.
But an 8x10 is about the largest we can even fit on our properties.
Okay. You've testified that you need a place for storage. That the placement of the shed is necessary. There's really no other place to put it, correct?
There isn't any other place to put it.
Okay, and the it would change in any way the character of the neighborhood. Does this shed in any way change the character of the neighborhood?
I think it improves it because it matches my home. The other one was a mess.
Okay. Do you know what the setback is for sheds on your lot?
Well, they're saying it's 5 feet. We don't understand that because the first lady that testified about the 10 feet, everybody should have a 10-foot setback. We've got mobiles in there being placed right now 5 feet from the road. So it really should be a 10-foot setback, but
well,
it's 5
feet. For the shed? Do you know what the setback is for shed? Is it 5 foot?
I didn't even know why sheds really should be in the mix.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
but
how
I
far,
can't
do
that.
You know how far, how many feet it is?
I'm not real sure, because I don't know where my property line is in the back. We go by telephone poles, but I'm not real sure where the line is.
Okay. Can you move the shed any closer to your house?
No, not really.
That's all I have for this witness. I have two other witnesses I'm going to call.
Okay.
I'd like to call Mr. DeMayo. Mr. DeMayo, where do you live, sir?
At 19792 Sierra.
And you're Ms. Sisk's next-door neighbor?
Yes.
And we've looked at some pictures here. The picture that is the number six of the exhibits is that shed that we see on the right-hand side of the lower picture. Is that the shed, your shed?
My
your
shed.
Property? So you live on the side, same side of the property as her new
right,
shed?
Right, 814.
Okay. What happened to her, the shed that just before this one, what happened to it?
The wind blew it right over. I was in my backyard. It was a windy day and checking my furniture. And next thing I seen was her shed just blown right down, right over, and it bent all up.
Yeah, okay. Now, does that shed cause you any problems?
No problem at all.
Okay.
I've been there 12 years.
Okay, there's always been a shed there in 12
always
years?
Always been a shed.
Okay, is it in the same place? Is her new shed
exactly,
the same place?
Exactly the same place, about the same size.
Okay, do you think it's a good or a bad thing for the community that for her to have a shed there?
Good, because it doesn't bother anybody. There's just a weekenders are in back of us.
Okay, on the other
behind,
side of the fence?
Right, on the other side.
Okay, so you've got no problems with that shed?
No problem at all.
That's all I have for this witness. Call Mr. Godwin. I'm sorry, Goodwin. Sorry, sir. Mr. Goodwin, what do you know about the previous shed to Ms. Sisk's?
Previous shed was junk. It was just rusted up.
Okay. Did you help her dismantle it?
Yeah, I went up and I cut it up for her.
Okay. And how soon after that did she put in the new shed?
It was about a week or so after it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I mean, you live in Sierra Park,
yes.
Right? Okay. Is this shed, do you feel this is an improvement to the
park? Big improvement compared to what was there, yes.
Okay. Do you think this is in keeping with the character of the park?
Oh, I think so, yes.
That's all I have for this witness.
Okay.
I would like to also make an exhibit, just for the record, a letter that I sent to Mr. Burrell dated July 27th of 9, just laying out some legal argument that we made. That's all the evidence I have. I would like to reserve maybe just kind of a brief, to respond to any questions or concerns, and then maybe make a brief, some brief legal comments.
Anybody have any? Maybe we'll read this letter a minute, then we'll. Question? Mr. McKay, do anybody have any questions for Mrs. Sisker, for the attorney, or anything?
Sure.
No questions? Did you have any?
I did ask one question.
Of the attorney?
Of her.
Mrs. Sisker?
Yes.
Yes, I did too. Now that I read that. We go ahead and start.
You said you did not know where your property line's at. Are you?
Did you?
I know where our rebars are in the front. I can dig them up and find out. All
of them
between a foot to 3 feet in. According to one of the letters sent by Mr. Richard Burrell to, I think it was David Hutt at one time, he stated really what we go by visually in the back is our utility poles. And that's the closest thing we have to a property line. Where my rebars are in the back, I have no earthly idea. I guess there are because it was a survey in the 70s, and then they when the guy was selling it in 1982, They came in, Lowenstein came in and had another survey. And I know that we have rebars. I would assume they would be in the back. But that's always been our property line, because we put the fence up in the back. Mm-hmm. In fact, we put the fence up for the guy on one side of us and the guy on and the people on the other side of us. We helped put those fences up.
So you really don't know where the...
Telephone pole to telephone pole. I would gather that's where it is. I don't know.
Okay.
Johnson, do you have any? Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Mills, do you have any questions for Mrs. Sid? And she didn't know where the survey line was at. Okay. All right. I think that's all the questions that we have right this time. Okay. Hearing no more questions from members of the board, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Can I have a show of hands, please? Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Keep them up. Okay. 19. Okay, is there anyone here in opposition to this application? There's 1, 2, okay. Those that are here in opposition, would you like to come forward and offer them? You need to come be sworn in, please. Got three, I guess.
Three opposed.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You need to be sworn if you would, please.
You gonna testify, sir? Both at the same time. Name and address, ma'am.
Cindy Surface, 19986 Golden Avenue, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
All right, sir.
Brad Bamberger, 19762 Sierra Avenue. Sierra, okay.
And do you both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Good evening, board members. How are you?
Okay.
I have a statement I want to read, but after hearing this Mrs. attorney and speaking, I think I want to say a little bit something different and then go on with my statement. I think we're kind of missing the point here. We're going into why we should have this, why we need this, my shed blew down, et cetera, et cetera. I have no problems with somebody replacing a shed if it's damaged. Absolutely, and nobody should. What I have a problem with is the way about, in the way it was done in this situation. Her shed's beautiful now. I don't disagree with that. Fits in with the neighborhood. Everybody should have a new shed. It would surely brighten up the place because there's some dilapidated ones in there. I feel one day that the board should take it upon advisement that if people want to replace their shed, they should be able to with the same footprint of a shed that's on there with a newer one. These tin sheds don't last, and they get damaged. However, in this case, this was done in all of a wrong and precarious way. And basically, I'll start like this. You know, my name's Brad Bamberger. I'd like to tell you a story. 3 years ago, I was before you, the board members, asking for a variance for my shed on my property. And my request was tabled. I then received a letter denying my variance. In other words, I couldn't have a shed. It had to be moved, put in another place. My shed was already there. There was a ground deck. The shed was basically built off the ground deck. I had to call shed movers to move my shed and rip the ground deck up, a cost of about $600. Since then, myself and other residents have attempted to make improvements, apply for all required permits and variances, all of which each and every time have been opposed by Ms. Sisk and her association in this very chambers. On the weekend in May of 2008, Ms. Sisk did replace her shed with a larger one, and all this was done without any regards to the permits, variances, or park approval. Now here we all are, 17 months later, suffering through a building moratorium, a variance request on hold for certain people in our park, surveys required for any little thing, all because Ms. Sis felt she was above the law. She got caught, and it has taken this council 17 months to deal with this violation. The law is the law, and I find it unbelievable that it takes 17 months to deal with the shed issue. It only took 1 month to deal with mine. There are penalties for zoning infractions. However, it appears that these penalties are being selectively enforced. And I ask you, the enforcers, why this occurs. Why, to do that, we're allowing chaos, disregard for county laws, if we don't maintain the structure for what the laws are being made for. I and the other residents also have signed a petition, which you have, which forwarded it to you. You even have a signature from her next door neighbor also. I'm disappointed in the system of government that allows the situation that we are dealing with this evening to continue. Hopefully this evening you will effectively resolve this matter. Again, I thank you for being allowed to speak before you guys.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening, members of the board.
Good evening, sir.
As you know, I'm David Hutt. I'm with a local firm here in Georgetown, and standing next to me is Cindy Surface, the manager of Sierra Village. I guess in response to a couple of the comments we've heard tonight, and I guess let me start by saying you probably have in your files a copy of an exterior improvement request form which sets forth the community's position on basically residents having shed. And as has been stated any number of times by Ms. Surface, by myself, it's not a surprise when a resident wants a shed, a porch, a deck, or something like that on their site. The community itself is before this board on any number of times. There are members of the community here that have presented their applications before you, and you're familiar with these requests. As was set forth in the exterior improvement request form, the problem is the way in which this matter arose or how it came to be. And I'll ask Ms. Surface, were you approached and asked for this exterior improvement request form, which the board has prior to the old shed being demolished and the new shed being installed?
No, I was not.
And when were you made aware that a new shed had been installed?
After the fact. It's probably, I don't know, the next week when I was informed by the county, actually.
So it was from the county, the Planning and Zoning Office called you and asked you what you knew about the shed?
Correct. They had called me and asked me if Ms. Sisk had gotten a exterior improvement request form authorized by me, and I told them no.
And by this point in time, obviously, the new shed has been installed. As we heard from the contractor who did it, the old shed had been cut up and set by the curb for trash. Thus, there's no way for the county's officials or inspectors to go out and see, was it damaged? What's the condition of it? What's the size of it? I've heard a number of people tonight say that it's about the same size. I believe that you have pictures in your files, and if you don't, I have pictures that Mr. Bamberger, who just spoke, took, which show that the shed appears to be a different size. in the pictures. If the board doesn't have a copy of those pictures, we can certainly supply them to the board. And again, the issue is not whether or not a resident can or cannot have a shed. There are very few sites, if any, at Sierra Village where a resident does not have a shed. Mr. Mills asked Ms. Sisk whether or not she was familiar with the fact that there isn't really any type of construction or replacement of anything that you can do on property in Sussex County that doesn't require a building permit. And obviously, you all are familiar with Ms. Sisk because she's appeared before you many, many times. In fact, there was a number of reasons why there was a moratorium at Sierra Village, which began February 27th of 2006. But one of them was that Ms. Sisk was complaining to her councilperson at that time, Lynn Rogers, as well as other people. There are any number of newspaper articles, which I'm sure you're all familiar with, and she was one of the primary advocates that things needed to change at Sierra Village, the lot lines were not clear, and something needed to be done about what was going on at Sierra Village. What happened after that was that a moratorium was issued by the then county administrator, Bob Stickles, and that was not resolved until May 30th of 2007 by a memorandum from David Baker to Mr. Lank. In November of 2007, Mr. Lank kind of put the practical polish on the policy that Mr. Baker had done. And in fact, Mr. Lank, in November of 2007, wrote a letter to an attorney representing Ms. Sisk at that time, advising her of the resolution of these issues and the fact that going forward, people were going to have surveys and request variances and what that procedure was. And since that time, as the board knows, as soon as the moratorium was lifted, there was sort of a flood of requests that you all had in front of you. And Ms. Sisk showed up, as she faithfully does at those matters. She investigated the files. She saw that the community had gone out and commissioned surveys for each of those applications. And I asked Ms. Surface, before we came tonight, if she could put together a list of survey charges that Sierra Village has incurred since the moratorium was lifted. And I'll hand this out to the board. And ask Ms. Surface if these are, in fact, the charges which you've incurred from Coast Surveying for the surveys for each of the variance applications that have been made.
Yes, they are.
And in general, if you were to approximate, how much does just a lot and location survey from Coast Survey cost?
For the initial survey,
yes.
It's $495.
And if there's additional charges, would those be for if the a different size home needed to be placed or located on there, or if missing corners needed to be reset on the lot?
Yes. Yeah, that's correct. There are a couple of these sites that we've come before the board with one proposal, and you've asked us to submit a survey, you know, drawing for a smaller home or something different, so therefore we've had to go back to Coast and get another survey drawn up. Issues like that, corners, different things.
And there are, in fact, two surveys that you did obtain over the course of, since the moratorium was lifted approximately 2 years ago, that were not, there was no survey, no variance that was required. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And site C24, is that a corner site?
Yes, that's a corner site. And I went ahead and had a survey, I had Coast Survey drop a survey on that so that I would be absolutely 100% sure that I was in compliance with codes, with the county requirements, before I even considered placing a new home on that site, even though the county didn't require the survey for the placement permit. I wanted to be sure, you know, by obtaining that survey, because it's just, staying in compliance with everything that you guys want is of the utmost importance.
And on B25, is that where the office, the community office, is located?
Yes, it is.
And that was for a deck that was installed?
That was for expanding a deck that was already in the back of the office. I added an additional door and deck to the back of our office for a fitness center. That's I went ahead and got a survey for that as well.
What is the process that Sierra Village uses when a resident wants to make an improvement on their home site?
The first thing they need to do is fill out an exterior improvement request form and give the details of the improvement and drawing. There's a space on the form to provide a drawing of that, and they submit that to my office, and I review it and either approve it or deny it. And when I do approve them, I always provide the phone number for the county permit office and let the resident know that they've got to check with the county to make sure that, you know, whatever permits they need, they've got to obtain those and then bring copies to my office.
And again, in this case, that was done after the fact?
That's correct.
And when was that shed replaced?
The shed was replaced in late April or early May of 2008. I'm not sure of the exact date.
And as the board is aware, since November 17th meeting that occurred last year, the board has tabled all applications at Sierra Village pending before it because of the notice of violation which was issued to Ms. Sisk for her shed. In fact, at least four applications have been tabled, one of those being for site M62, and the folks got so frustrated with the process that they've given up and withdrawn the application in the meantime. There is pending an application for a shed at site A80. There is a new home that's been proposed for D13, which has been on hold, and that was presented to the board in September of 2008. And sitting behind me is Mr. Tim Dale, who presented an application the first week of November to expand his home for his family. And that application has been tabled throughout this whole time. Because of this pending notice of violation, the board has determined, I believe, pursuant to Sussex County's Clean Hands Ordinance, that it's not going to process forward any other request at Sierra Village while that is pending. Thus, the impact of what was referred to during Mr. Enterline's comments as a matter that requires common sense has been severe to the members of the community as well as to the community itself. Should or can a resident at Sierra Village have a shed? Certainly, they get approved exterior improvement request forms approved all of the time. But the right process, and a process which Ms. Sisk cannot claim she didn't know about, is for a person to go into the community office, obtain an exterior improvement request form, take that exterior improvement request form, take it down to the county, and determine at that time whether or not it requires a variance. If it requires a variance, then a survey would be required. And if all of those things take place in that fashion, she wouldn't be in the position she's in right now of having a notice of violation for a shed on her site. Mr. Dale wouldn't be sitting there waiting to expand his home for a decision from the board about whether or not he can expand his home in the community with the other applications pending. And the matter would proceed forward in the process by which it's supposed to be done. The issue tonight is not so much about common sense, it's about following the rules that have been set out. The application here seems well past due, and in fact, the reason that the exterior improvement request form came when it did is because the community let Ms. Sisk know that until she agreed that she would apply before the board and would take that step, which is the next logical step in the process, it was not willing to issue an exterior improvement request form for somebody who wasn't going to follow through with the process. That form has been issued, and you have it in front of you. If you have any questions for Ms. Surface or myself, we'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions? Okay. Mr. Workman? Mr. Mills? Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, can I ask Lawrence something, Mr.
Sure. Mr. Yes, please.
Mr. Lank,
can be sworn in or anything?
Oh, no, he's a staff member.
Okay.
We get this information all the time. Do you have any information about permits, building permits being issued at Sear over the years?
Yes. Just in general, it's not a firm number, but I did a quick count. We went to the AS400 system, which is a computer system operated by the county data processing, and there's been approximately 110 to 125 sheds and or accessory buildings, whatever you may want to call them, since June of 1982. And that depends on how they were indexed. So I went one list we did last year, made reference specifically to sheds. The index I asked for a couple days ago was... It just made a reference to those accessory structures, so it was not quite the same report. But the numbers were close to each other as far as numbers.
Do you have any records of the last shed belonging to Mrs. Sisk for this property that was permitted?
No.
Which permit was issued?
No, and that's the difficulty that we have with her application. How can the county permit the replacement of a shed that never had a permit without being brought into compliance? The applicant's own testimony stated that the first shed was, I'm assuming it to be a wooden shed based on the way she described the termites, and that was placed in 1969, thereabouts. We've had statements that was done in 70 and 69. It's been different years. And the second shed was placed in the late 90s, which was a metal shed. And agreeably, they blow over and topple or whatever on a regular basis if they're not anchored down properly with no permit. And at the third shed, which was placed recently, was to replace the shed that was damaged naturally through the storm wind or whatever it was that caused the rusty old shed to finally have its last day, I guess. She needs a shed permit.
Yeah. Did you ever tell her that she did not need a permit for a shed?
Have not. We've required permits since basically the creation of zoning jurisdiction. The zoning jurisdiction was established in the October 15th, 1968. Admittedly, the records between 1968, of October 15th, 68, and mid-73 to 74 were questionable, and I only say that because we didn't have parcel maps to go by. In 1973 and 74, the tax maps for the whole county were created, and by the creation of those maps, we created a whole new record system. So I don't even know how some of the inspectors went out and did inspections based on the information that was on some of those old permits. Wasn't really any basis other than sometimes the address, and most time it was just the south side of a road and so many feet from another road. So they had to basically go find it.
But since 2007, you have had, your office has had a comprehensive survey for each lot, or essentially for the whole of Sear, correct? From which individual lot surveys can be completed?
That's great. We have a lot survey, which shows all the lots and their dimensions. We have a aerial survey, which shows all the improvements that existed at the time of that survey. And you can match the two together, and the only difficulty is they're not monument. And the monuments have to be placed, and the monuments are determined through whatever surveys used by the individual tenant or the developers to establish that lot.
Susan, I wanted to ask you something, too. Mr. Enterline has some materials that included a violation notice in 2009. My recollection is that there were notices of violation for this shed well before 2009. Is that correct or not?
That is correct.
When was the first notice of violation issued?
It was from Mike Bailey. I do not have that with me. It was probably a year prior to this one. I can get that for you.
But I thought there was one earlier than the one that's in evidence. Okay. That's all that I wanted to ask, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Earl. Okay, thank you for that. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to, for the record, state that the office did receive a petition with 37 signatures in opposition.
37 in opposition? Okay. And we had 18 here tonight in favor. Okay. Excuse me. Okay. Yes, sir.
Chairman, I don't think the board actually offered the people here in favor an opportunity to speak if they wished.
I did, sir. But you came up first, and I'm going to get recorded.
And you asked for a show of hands, but then you didn't ask if they wanted to come up.
That's my fault, because I understood you were calling everybody you wanted to call, and that was everybody. Okay.
I didn't know about somebody else.
All right. Oh, okay. Is there anyone here now that would like to come up and speak in opposition?
In support of it.
Would you please come forward to be sworn in? You come forward, sir. Are you one? Take a 10-minute break. Just get in there. You ready?
Let me get sworn in. Okay.
Susan.
Name and address.
Susan Lausche.
Spell that for her, please.
L-A-U-S-H-E-Y. What he's saying. 65 Branchwood Drive. Silverview Farm.
Oh, I thought you did. Oh, okay, we'll be fine. We'll keep going.
Just step aside. We're going to swear everybody at one time.
Okay. Pat Weil.
Okay, I thought you did.
Address?
666 Clifton Drive in Bear, Delaware.
Okay.
Roberta Hemrick.
Spell that for
her. H-E-M-M-E-R-I-C-H. 34144.
I don't need to write it down, but you need to state it.
Oh, I'm sorry. 34144 Pinewood Circle, Lewis, Delaware.
Walter Hudson, Sierra. Address 36262 Edge Avenue.
Okay.
It's Spiron, 35124 Seahawk Lane.
Spiron?
Seahawk.
S-P-E-R-A-W. A-W.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now everybody come on back. Do you all swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yeah.
We do.
Yes.
Okay. Now, we're going to take 5 minutes because we need a break. Have a seat. We'll be back in just a minute.